We want to talk about four of faith's greatest enemies, and I want to just talk about something I shared last night with our students, and I thought I might share with you tonight because I've seen a lot of people really, they're really having a hard time releasing their faith, using their faith, or expressing their faith, and to their own demise, they're destroying their own testimony and what they want, and from God. And so the devil is stealing from them. And so the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, the first section of that chapter, it says that fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And so we want to discuss the enemies of our faith. And so we want to look at what Paul said over here in the 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, and in that expression, fight the good fight of faith, which says that you and I are in a battle. We're in a fight battle. And if you're a Christian, you're in the family of faith. We saw in the Galatians chapter 3, verses 6, right up down to, say, let's verse 13, it says that if you belong in the family of God, if you have to put your faith in Jesus, you belong to the same family, and that you're part of the family of faith, and we're all called to be people of faith and to fight the good fight of faith. When Paul is talking about fighting the good fight of faith, he's talking about there's a struggle going on, and that word itself, the word fight, it actually tells us there's a struggle, there's a battle going on. Fight the good fight of faith. The word fight, actually from the Greek word agon, A-G-O-N, it means a conflict or a battle, and infers an enemy. So we do have enemies to our faith, and if you don't understand what is an enemy to your faith, you can be destroyed. Lose a battle, and sometimes this battle is about life and death. It could mean a lot of hurting. It could mean a lot of loss. It could mean destruction. But we want to learn how to fight a good fight. You know, we talked about different enemies that we have, but in the past, I want to share with you some practical enemies. They're really huge enemies. They might seem insignificant to some people, but they're some of the greatest enemies that will destroy your faith. And so God has given us, faith to use in this life. And the more you use your faith, the stronger you become. And you have to understand about faith. We talked about the ABCs of faith, and that, what is the ABCs of faith? It's really, we have to know what faith is. What is the meaning of faith? Find out what is faith. And if you know what faith is, number two, you have to find out how to get it. And if you can find out where to get it, then you are ahead in life again. Then once you got it, you know what it is, you know where to get it. The third thing is how to use your faith. Those are the ABCs of faith. What is faith? How to get it, and how to use your faith. And a lot of people don't know how to do those three things if you don't know what faith really is. And somehow people, even after all the teaching they've had and all the instructions they've had in the past, they still don't understand what faith is. And you need to understand what it is, because this is absolutely key to your survival and your victory in life. And, faith is the only thing that will defeat the enemy, because 1 John chapter 5, and it says in here in verses 4 and 5, it says in there, this is the victory that overcomes, it's our faith. And so this is the only thing that could ever defeat the enemy. This is the victory that overcomes this world. This world we live in, he's not talking about the world, the physical world, but this world system, this world is developed, at least not necessarily developed, but controlled by the enemy. And 1 John 5:19 talks about this whole world is controlled by the enemy. And so we need to understand we live in the world. You know, in Romans chapter 12, it talks about in there that we shouldn't be conformed to this world. When it talks about the world, it's talking about the world system, the world standards and values. And we shouldn't adopt that kind of lifestyle, because when we get into that lifestyle and adopt the values of the world, then we become weak in our faith. And so we have to know what God's word says about it. So he says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, we're what kind of fight it is? It's a faith fight. It's a faith fight. It's you're not fighting devils itself. You're not fighting demons, but your demons are behind this. But you're not fighting people. You're not fighting other churches and denominations. As some people, they fight. People seem to fight each other sometimes. Christians, you know, if the world can get us fighting each other. He'll defeat the devil will defeat us somehow and come in there and destroy our lives. And so let's not be critical of one another. And let's go ahead and look at what the Word of God says. So we need to have to, if there's a faith fight, first of all, when we say, first of all, let's understand this again. First of all, it's a fight. So there's a battle going on. That's what you have to understand. There's a fight. You're in a battle, and your battle is with the enemy, the devil. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And then there's something else. It's a faith fight. And the fight of faith has to do with your faith. In other words, with your beliefs, with your understanding of what you understand. And what you have to understand who you are and what you have and what you can do. So that's where the battle is, and it's all going on over here in your mind, and the devil will attack you and attack your belief systems. And the first thing you see in chapter 3, where the Bible says that the devil was the most subtle enemy. He was very, very clever, and he was very deceptive, and he comes to Adam and Eve, and he tells them, he questions them about their belief. And he said, did God really say, you know, you can't eat any of the trees? He said, and Adam, or at least Eve, they responded by saying, well, God says we could eat all the trees, every tree, but not this one over here. So, you know, so the devil comes around and he'll question what you believe. Then he goes on and tells him, you know, that he said, you know, God doesn't want you to have this because, you know, he knows that you'll be like him. You'll know good and evil. And he begins to deceive them. And so he's a very good at deception. He's a liar. And he'll trick you into believing certain things. Say, for instance, when I got born again, the devil questioned me for a very long time if I was saved. And and thank God I was solid in that. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues, I had a glorious encounter with God, and I went out into the spirit world, and I had such an encounter with God, and I went up there, and I did not want to come back here, because it's so glorious. And after I had the tremendous encounter with God, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil came and attacked me right away and said, that never happened to me. And if I, you know, it's amazing what the devil will do. I don't know if you remember, I think it's the third chapter of Matthew, when Jesus, I think it's verse 21 there, where Jesus was baptized in the water, and as he came out of the water, the Bible says, the voice from heaven came, and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus, and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And the devil came and attacked Jesus later on, and says, "You know, if you are the Son of God," and he knew he's the Son of God, he came and attacked Jesus and said, He attacked him about his identity and who he actually really was and who he is. And he said, if you're the Son of God, and he began to attack him three times. And Jesus responded, you know, with the Word of God. And then, you know, if we're going to have a battle with the enemy, we're going to have to know the Word, because Jesus said it is written. So you and I are going to have to know what is written. What does the Word say? And I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us, every time you come up to a hard place in life, if you come to a struggle, you have to ask yourself, what does God's word say about my situation? What does the word say about it? You know, he talked about in there many years ago when he was, a pastor. And, you know, he was not really called to be a pastor, but the Lord allowed him to be a pastor, and he learned some things there. You know, God will allow you to do certain things, even though, you might not be called to certain things, but he was allowed to be a pastor, and he learned some things. And so he said whenever they had a struggle, and maybe his staff or his leadership and his team would, he would say, oh, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And he'd always turn to them and say, what does the Word of God say about the situation? And I remember Pastor Hagin, he'd always say the same thing, whenever he went through different things, his dad would say, well, what does the Word say about the situation? And so we have to understand what the Word of God says about any situation. And so Jesus responded when he was attacked by the enemy, by the devil. He said, it is written. So you and I are going to have to respond in like manner. We're going to have to respond and say, what does God's word say about it? And then talk to the devil. I saw a book today in my office by Mark Hankins, and he's got this, I believe he's got a series out. It's called Never Run to Your Giant Without Your Mouth Open. In other words, you got to talk back to your giant. You got to speak to your giant and tell him, just like David did. He said, today I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to destroy you instead of you destroying me. And so you got to speak to the devil. If you're not vocal, if you're not going to speak up for your rights and tell the devil what to do, where to go in the name of Jesus, then you're not going to win a battle. So you're going to have to look him right in the eye when it comes to your children, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your health, when it comes to your life. You're going to have to look at him in the eye and say, devil, God has given me long life. My children are blessed. I have all my needs met. God will never leave me or forsake me. And I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Leave my mind alone. Leave my body alone. Leave my house. Leave my finance. You got to be able to talk to the devil and speak to him, just like Moses did when he was leaving Egypt, and he got instruction. God says, go and deliver my people and take them out of, that dark kingdom of Egypt and away from Pharaoh, a wicked master leader. And so Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. The devil is persistent. Maybe you're in a situation right now where the devil doesn't want to let you go so easily. And he wants you to stay back where you are. And in fact, everybody around you, your family perhaps even, it could be some of your best friends, they want to keep you in that same spot. And if you get born again, they'll try to talk you out of it and tell you, what's wrong with you? And like in 1 Peter says, some of your friends will say, are you better than us? Are you who you think you are anyway? You don't want to run with us anymore? And so that's what the devil will do. He'll try to keep you back. And Pharaoh was trying to keep back the children of Israel, and he was trying to gamble with Moses and when he was going to leave, Egypt. And he says, no, you can't go. Listen, you can take the old people, but leave the children behind. He said, no, we're not going to do that. Just leave the animals. No, he says, no, we're not leaving one hoof behind. Praise God, amen. We're not leaving one hoof of the animals behind. We're taking everybody. We need the animals because we're going to sacrifice animals because we're going to sacrifice to our God. And we're not leaving our children. We're not leaving our children behind. And that's what you need to tell the devil. If your children are in the world, or they might be living in the world, but they might still be, or might live in your house, but they might be still in the world. But you need to tell the devil, you're not going to have any one of my children. My children are blessed. My children are taught of the Lord. My children are delivered according to the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs that my children are delivered. My children are free. Amen. And you cannot take my body. Jesus paid the price for my body. You cannot assault my mind. My mind is my mind. And tell them you don't own anything of me. I'm free of you, praise God. And that's what I like, the scripture in Colossians 1 and 12 and 13, we thank God. And verse 13 says, because we've been delivered out of the power of the devil. We've been delivered out of the authority of the devil. The devil has no authority in your life once you're born again. We've been raised together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go get back to the Word of God. I've been preaching here a little bit. Now, we said fight the good fight of faith means that you have an enemy, and it's a faith fight. And so you have your faith is under attack, in other words. What you believe is under attack. And the devil will attack you in every way he can to try to get you off. He'll try to get you all emotional. You know, the devil, what he'll do to people, he'll get them upset and get them mad at somebody else and get them all mixed up, and they'll be walking out of in resentment and anger and self-pity, and get them go over there, isolate them from the church, and get them out there living in the world and just forget about the church, forget about God, forget about praying, get them out there, just live a natural life and don't bother anybody, and he's got you. And some people can take a trip like that for 10, 20 years, 30 years, maybe all the rest of their life until maybe perhaps they get come back to Jesus before they die. We don't know. But thank God, you know, you can, you know, get away so far away from God that you can lose your salvation. You can. Once you're saved, you're not always saved. And that can happen. And the Bible talks about that. And not very many people can actually lose their salvation. You have to be very, very mature in order for you to lose your salvation. And if you're worried about it right now, whether or not you lost your salvation, you haven't. And if you committed the sin of the sin unto death, that the Bible talks about, the sin unto death, you could lose your salvation. You know, Hebrews talks about it, and 1 John talks about the sin unto death, and. There's some people who lost their salvation. They walk away from God and deny Jesus Christ and get out of. They say, "I don't want Jesus anymore," and they get possessed. But that's not that's another story. That's a real another real story, and that's lots of salt on your food there. But listen, if you're worried like that, you have, and if you're, you know, people who have gone off, they don't care anymore about God. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about the Bible, and so they got so far off. They can't come back. You know, there's some people, I've known some people who prayed for other people, and Jesus said, "Don't pray for them anymore," because they're gone. And so, but they don't care anyway. So anyway, you don't have to worry about that tonight, but we do have a faith fight going on. Your faith is under attack because it's the only thing that will free you, or at least that will give you the victory. Let's go over here and read a scripture, and I've got several things written down here for you, but I want to go to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, and let's look at what John, the beloved John, said. Verse 4, let's go ahead and read this. "For whosoever," or whatsoever, that's nobody's, you're not a what. This is an incorrect translation here by the King James. But it says that whatsoever is born of God. Well, he's talking about whosoever is born of God. Well, what about these people? They overcome the world. And, you know, the devil, he is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. And, you know, and John and Jesus talk about that the devil is the prince of this world, and he's called the prince of the air as well. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So the devil, he wants to attack your faith. That's why it's called a faith fight. And he wants to attack you. Why does he want to attack your faith? Because it's the only thing that'll give you the victory in this world. It's the way you're supposed to walk. God asks you to walk by faith. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And over there, let me just look at this scripture here with us. I want to give you three scriptures. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to be a little bit slower tonight, but we are going to get there. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to go verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. So we're required to walk by faith. And because we're required to walk by faith, as we saw in 1 John, it's the way to get the victory in life. I remember when we were in Bible school, one of our teachers there, Keith Moore, he's a wonderful pastor now. He doesn't call himself a pastor, but he's a pastor. He's pastoring a church, two churches actually. He's a great teacher. I spent many years with Brother Hagin, and he always used to ask us every time we come to class. He said, "Do you still have the victory? Do you have the victory?" Well, you know, people naturally get into the natural when you think that, but you know, no matter how bad you look, no matter what you have experienced, you have the victory. Praise God. Amen. You have to say that. I have the victory. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter if you don't have two dimes to rub together in your pocket, say, I have all my needs met. Praise God. Amen. I am rich. You got to say that. When you're broke, when you're sick with a high fever, say, thank God, healing is mine. Praise God. That's how you're going to win the battle. That's how to win. And if you say, oh, I'm sick, I'm going to die. Well, you're going to die. If you say, oh, I'm so broke, you know, I'm so low here. I don't know what's going to happen. But no, you got to say, I am rich. Now, the just shall live by faith. And we see that expression. Now, let's look at this, the second part of that verse. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are of not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He's talking there about us walking away from our faith life. God is not pleased when we walk away from the faith life and go back to our old way of life. He doesn't want you to go back. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to attack you so bad that you'll get away from faith. Get away from believing for people. Not just believing for yourself, but believing for everybody else. We should have enough faith for ourselves, our family, and other people. Praise God. We got to have enough faith. We're supposed to love people and believe God for them. You know, one of the things Brother Keith Moore used to tell us, you know, how many of you got enough money to pay your tuition this month? And everybody would raise their hand. You know, there's 2,000 students in our class at the time, in our pastoral class, and we all lift our hands up. Ooh, everybody would be yelling, you know, happy they got their tuition paid that month. Hallelujah. How many of you got that victory? He said, oh, we got it. Hey, everybody's yelling away, you know. And everybody's hands go down. Then he says, well, how many of you right now can pay your friend's tuition? Well, nobody raised their hand. And, you know, well, we should have enough, not only just for ourselves, but of our neighbor. That's what God would want us to have. He wants us to have overflowing to share with other people. And that's the love of God working in our lives. And so God doesn't want us to draw back, because once we draw back, we're not good to ourselves and to our families or to our neighbors. Now, let's go the next chapter here. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the word faith itself, the word faith, faith, you know, is the word pistis. It means a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. It means also faith is, you know, in the shortest form, faith is an act. Faith is an act. You're going to act like the Word of God is true. You must act like God's Word is true. When you read the Scriptures and see it, you're going to have to act like this is true. Even if it's not true in your life at the moment, it might not be fully expressed in your life. You might just have it in your hair right now, but it's not fully manifested in your life. So if you stick with the Word, God will stick with you. The Bible says, when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. So faith is a substance, you know, of the things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made things which do appear. Verse 4, By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he yet dead yet speaketh. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's where we want to get to. We cannot please God without having faith. In other words, God wants us to believe him. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to have confidence in him. God wants us to know that he'll always take care of us, and we should act on his word. Just like you would act on your friend's word or somebody else's word. When somebody says, I'll be there, I'm going to give you this, you have to believe them. And you have to, same way you believe God, as you believe your best friend. And so, the scripture we were looking at, Hebrews 10:38, it says in there, the just shall live by faith. We see that expression in other verses of scriptures. For instance, over in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says in there, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. In other words, this is how we're supposed to live. This is how we should live. This is the life of the, the rich and famous. No, this is the life of the believer. Praise God. Amen. This is how we should live. God wants us to live by faith. And then we see another expression, the same thing, over there in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. The just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk also says, the just shall live by faith. And so that's where it all came from. But God wants us to live by faith. And so we see in 1 John chapter, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, let's go look at that scripture one more time and read it together, verses 4 and 5 together. John, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. Let's read that together. It says here, who is he that overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's verse 5. But verse 4 says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So living in this world where Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4 said Satan is the god of this world. And so he has a certain amount of control in this world. He's not God, but he is controlling certain things in this world. He has access to different people. And if you allow him, he'll come and take over. And a lot of people don't understand. Even Christians can be influenced by the devil, and they can actually do different things. You can see that in the scriptures where one moment, Peter is excited about God, and he speaks by the Spirit of God that, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Next time he's rebuking Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. And Jesus said, he rebuked Satan, and Satan was using him. And so we see that, a lot of people don't understand that sometimes they can be used by the devil, even against themselves. And so the devil will try to convince people. And so we are in a faith fight. And the Bible says over here that we do have an enemy. The enemy, John chapter 10, verse 10 says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So he's not playing games with you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. If there's any of that going on, you know that who's behind it. It's Satan himself trying to steal what you have in your life. He wants to destroy what you got. Anything good from God, he wants to destroy it. And he wants to destroy. He wants to kill. He's not in it for any games. So he wants to kill. So we want to see here something. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Just talking about cares and worries and anxieties and burdens and heaviness and oppression, all that stuff. The devil will try to attack someone. But before we read that scripture, I want to go to James chapter 1. But we'll go back to the scripture of 1 Peter there in a moment. Let's go to James chapter 1. And let's read a scripture here that's going to be very, very telling and very revealing to us. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So this is James writing to the Jewish believers. They were the first Christians ever to be founded on the world, in the world. And they were, the first Christians were Jews. And so verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So here we see here that we need to immediately act in faith with joy. When we fall, that word fall doesn't mean when you fall, like you trip over like this. Just before I came to church, I was shoveling some snow. I fell like twice. I fell right on my behind and really hurt. And, I looked around, maybe thought somebody saw me. I guess maybe somebody did, but I didn't see them. But I fell down twice. And it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So that's not the kind of fall I'm talking about. So this F-A-L-L, he's not talking about falling when you fall to the ground. This means when you're confronted with something. The word fall means when you're come up against, when you come up against something. So he said, count it all joy when you come up against diverse temptations, various temptations. The word temptations is in the Greek word, it means trials and tests. The actual Greek word is actually pressures. Now the devil, he wants to come and put pressure on you. He puts so much pressure on you that you will quit. That's what he does to every believer. He'll come and put pressure on you in your mind and your emotions. And you could feel it in your physical body that you just want to run away from your troubles. You'd be like the psalmist in, I think, Psalm 55, somewhere on there. He says, I wish I was like a bird. I'd fly away into the wilderness and not be bothered by any trouble. You know, I wish we were a bird sometime. But it says here, when you come up against diverse temptations and trials, he says you should count it all joy. In other words, count it as an opportunity. I remember Brother Hagin used to say, when you have any kind of trouble, you know, you need to say, thank God, this is another opportunity to prove my faith. Now watch this. He says, count it all joy, my brother, count it all joy when you come up to diverse temptations. This different kind of pressures. I want to show you about pressure in a moment. So look at this. Knowing this, in other words, it is pivotal, important for you to know that your faith is being tested. And the pressure is on your faith so that you will relent, you will give up because of the pressure and give in to the devil, give in to the trial and say, I give up. And so it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different pressures. Knowing this, you, my brother and sister, will never count it joyful if you don't know this. Watch this. Knowing this, that the trying or the trial of your faith works patience. You have to understand that you know that your faith will persevere in this situation. That's what it's talking about there. That your precious faith is and will be the thing that'll take you across every trial. Glory to God. Can you say amen out there? Amen. Help me out, somebody. Amen. So knowing this. And so verse 4 said, but let patience have a perfect work. That should be entire, wanting nothing. So when you're through with it, your faith will come through and you'll not lack anything in your life. Praise God. Now let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go to verse 7. I want to talk to you about pressures. People, you know, will have pressures in their lives, and because they're being attacked by the enemy, they'll put pressure on you so that you'll give up. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, they're casting all you care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, so he's an adversary, he's not your friend. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, you resist him with your faith. You resist him with your beliefs. You resist him with the word of God. You resist him with the information you got from God's word and say, listen, God says this. I believe the word of God. I'm siding with the word of God. So devil, you leave me alone. You leave my children alone. Get off my financial, whatever you got there. Don't bother my money. Leave me alone. Leave my mind alone. Leave my body alone. Don't touch my body. Get out of my house. You're not allowed to be in my house. The Bible says sickness is far from me. Glory to God. Amen. So we have to, the Bible says over here, that we resist him in faith. So that's exactly why the devil wants to fight you, because without your faith, without understanding, without knowing this, you can never resist the devil without your faith. You need your faith to win every battle. So it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith? So he's talking about all the cares, all the worries, all the anxieties, all the pressures, and all the burdens. All kind, you know, you can have all kinds of burdens in this world. All kinds of burdens from the world. Now watch this. Let's go to the what Jesus said over here in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, I believe it's verse 19 we're going to. Mark chapter 4, and I'm just getting this fresh from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God tonight. Praise God. Amen. It's good to walk by sometimes the seat of your pants. Oh, this is, I got all the stuff here, but you know, you got to listen to the Word of God. I know somebody is getting help tonight. Some of you are being so blessed, you just can't hardly stand it. You might as well just walk around and run around the room and run outside in the snow and thank God for His Word. Amen. Let's go to verse 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Notice this. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, this is why exactly the devil wants to devour you, or he wants to put pressures, he wants to put care on you, because you'll give up sooner or later. I want to read this in the Passion Translation. I like this because I'm passionate tonight about the Word of God more than normal. Praise God. Amen. Let's go here. Passion Translation. But they allow the cares of this life and the seduction of wealth and the desires of other things to crowd out and choke the message so it becomes, it produces nothing. The Amplified Bible says, I'm reading the Amplified Classical Edition, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasures and delights and false glamour, deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desires of other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, it becomes unfruitful or fruitless. So the devil, he wants to attack your faith. He wants to nullify you by putting unbelief and fear in your life so that you'll just, the pressure there, will you'll walk away from what you believe. So we don't want that ever to happen in our lives. And so we want to win the battle of faith. And so he's attacking you. So here's four enemies for you in your life that's gonna, the devil's gonna try to hit on. Number one is that he wants you to stay ignorant. He wants you to not read your Bible. He doesn't want you to attend a good church. You know, thank God for staying home and reading the Word of God yourself, but there's nothing compared to sitting under an anointed church corporate setting and sitting under a pastor who's been ordained of God to teach people the Word of God. There's nothing like it. Jesus put pastors in the church. So some of you need to get to church, get into a local church where you could actually be taught. So there's so many Christians being deceived that they say they don't have to go to church anymore. They can stay at home. But there is something different about coming to church, putting on your Sunday best, putting on your Sunday smile, coming in and entering into the presence of God with the rest of the believers and getting the Word of God, hallelujah, in a session where the corporate anointing is. Glory to God. Thank God for recordings. And, you know, you get blessed by that, but there's nothing different or there's nothing like coming to a real session. So, ignorance of God's Word. So you need to be taught the Word of God. Know the Word of God. So that is a real enemy, is ignorance, not being educated in the Word of God, not being taught the Word of God, and having a chance to learn with other believers, together with them, learning from them, they learning from you, and learning together as a family. There's nothing like it. Number two, here is a great enemy to your faith. Number two, not acting like the Word of God is true. When you hear the Word of God, then you start acting that like it's not even true. You act opposite of what it says in the Word. That is an enemy to your faith. The Bible says in James, the guy who hears the Word, goes another way. He's like a guy who looks in the mirror, forget what he looks like. This man will not be blessed in what he does. So we have to see ourselves exactly what the Word of God says. Here's number three, is concentration on sense, knowledge, evidence. In other words, just looking at life situations to dictate whether the Bible is true or not. Looking at circumstances to show whether or not God is blessing you or not. You can't look to circumstances. You can't look to what the experts are saying to say whether or not God's word is true. You can't look to the banker and say, this is it for you. You can't have any money. Listen, we've been through different things in this church where we could not get it. I remember waking up one morning and I was meeting with several people. We had about 10 or 15 people. We'd meet every so often, every week, about building this church. And suddenly, I needed $3 million. I said, where am I going to get $3 million? Our people don't make that kind of money in our church. But God knows how to bring money together. He knows how to bring finances to you. I've had people come to me. They said, I'll do this for free. I'll do that for free. I'll do this for free. And we'll give you this kind of money. People write checks for $50,000, $70,000. And bring in the money. And we've had different things happen. Miracles happen. And thank God for things. You know, God will bring things up. I'm amazed how God will bring things. He is an excellent God, a wonderful God. He will not let you down. So not acting like the Word of God is true. Number three is concentration on sense, knowledge, evidence. In other words, just looking at symptoms all the time. Looking at sense knowledge, just to check whether or not God's word is true. And number four, lack of patience. Some people get so impatient in life that they run ahead of God and mess up all the plans. And so we're not to run ahead of God and try to create our own answers. So let me just give you something here for a second, because I've seen a lot of people lately, in my friend group that have problems with prayer, and they're asking for prayer. You know, when you receive prayer, the worst thing you can do is continue to ask people to pray. Pray for me for this, and they pray for you. You send out your prayer request, and every day you send out a prayer request to somebody else. Every day you're on Facebook, and pray for me, pray for this. And they keep asking for prayer. So they never get to a place where they say, that's it, I believe by faith, we got it. And it's such a detriment to faith. And they're shooting themselves in the foot, so to speak, and can't walk by faith. And so you got to be able to understand what faith is and understand what to do when it comes to believing God. So, we need to see that the devil wants to attack your faith so he can take you out. So I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are, what you're doing, learn how to walk by faith. Learn that this way of faith is the best way to live, and that this is the only way to answer your prayer situation. That's the only way you got saved is by faith. The only way you got filled with the Holy Spirit is by faith. That's the way you got healed by faith. That's the way you believe for your family by faith. That's how your prayers come answered by faith. And everything we do is by faith in this life. So thank God for the Word of God. Let's pray together right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for every child of God and all the family of God that are watching online right now. We thank you for all their needs that are met. You said, Lord God, you're the great God, Jehovah. You are the everlasting God. You are a God that has everything in our lives given to us because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he's done for us. And so we receive in the name of Jesus all that it says in the Word of God by faith. And so whenever we see what the Word of God says, we say, oh, that's mine, I have it. I'm going to act like it. Thank God. That there's Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. I will not lack for one thing. I will not lack for spiritual things or physical material things. I will not lack for money. I will not lack for information or faith or joy. I will not lack for strength in the name of Jesus." We want to thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, for every person that's watching, that everyone that you see, that one that's never been born again, they will say to you, "Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. Wash me from my sins. And I receive you, Lord Jesus, as the Lord. I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life right now. And I want to walk with you." And those of you that are already born again, you've been away from God, said, use 1 John 1:9. Say, "Lord, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me from walking away. Forgive me from getting off over here. In the name of Jesus, forgive me. I'm coming back. And in Jesus' name, amen. Forgive me for unbelief." Whatever it is, in the name of Jesus. We love you.